The only thing that affects is voting. So we'll hope Steve shows up in the meantime. In attendance tonight, we have Jason Thielen. I'm Steve Cosper. We have Jane Greiner. Waiting for Steve Swanson. Everybody else has been excused for this evening. From staff, we have Jed Mielstein, Jason Bond, and Marla Fox. And City Council, we have Ramon Beck. Thanks for coming, Ramon.
Appreciate you.
Have opening prayer.
Father in heaven, we are thankful to be here. We're thankful to participate in city government and this democracy. We're thankful for all the blessings that have given us in this beautiful place that we live. Please bless us today that we might understand the issues at hand, that we might be able to discuss them in a civil and thoughtful way. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just to make it official on record, this is Tuesday, July 19th. You know, I have the agenda from July, July 5th, same one, July 19th, Planning Commission meeting. So, whatever you young, we're so happy to have the scouts out tonight. So, whatever you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, I know you're all dying to do that.
Don't all raise your hand at once.
One of you need to.
One of you, yeah, there you go. Thank you so much. What's your name? Jensen, thank you so much.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Good job. First item on our agenda tonight is public comment for anything not on the agenda. So we're open to anybody wanting to come up. If you do participate tonight, we want you to state your name and your address so we have it for the record since we record these meetings. We also have Mayor Wimmer here tonight, so thanks for coming, Mayor. Thanks for coming, Mayor. Appreciate you being here. Okay. Okay, we'll close public comment on things not on the agenda. First action item is public hearing for the Beck Pines concept plan, 600 West Westfield Road, petitioner Dana Beck. So we'll have an introduction by Jason. Dana, I don't know if you want to add anything to begin with, but then we'll open up to public hearing after that. Vaughn Lott from the City Council is here. Vaughn, welcome.
All right, so this is the proposed Beck Pines subdivision. This area was recently rezoned from 1 acre to half acre. So let me see if I can get a map up here for you. There we go. So this is located along Westfield Road, just west of Timberline Middle School, a little northwest of Timberline Middle School. The proposed subdivision consists of 19 lots, and the site is 11.29 acres. It's pretty straightforward. It's really flat over there, so there's not going to be, it's not in the sensitive lands. It's pretty straightforward. Maybe I'll let Jed, I know Jed's got some things to maybe address and let you know about, but just a couple things maybe that I can is this lot right here. We talked about, I can zoom in so you can see it a little bit better. But we were concerned about this being a double frontage lot, so we were hoping that they could front on the cul-de-sac and not have access to Westfield Road, since that's one of our busier collector or arterial roads.
Is that, I would assume that's what they'll do. I mean, otherwise you'd have to put the circular driveway in.
Yeah, that's what the plan is now. There's a couple issues to deal with the ditch, the road. I'll let Jed address those things, but that's pretty simple concept plan. Again, a reminder, the Planning Commission approves concept plan, and then it goes to City Council for informational purposes, and then a preliminary Planning Commission approves a preliminary, and then City Council will end up approving final with a recommendation from the Planning Commission. So pretty straightforward. You can see the conditions the staff has recommended. One of them addresses the access for a couple of the lots that I brought up. You got Lot 5, and then you also have 12 and 13 that we would prefer to have frontage on this side street that is yet to be named. Jed?
Can you go to one of these? Probably this first one. Okay, for the engineer's review, next one up. That one, yep. For the engineer's review at concept, we basically just look at the overall design. We don't try to get into any of the nitty-gritty details. But we do look at the overall design just to make sure that utilities will work, streets will work, frontage is there and provided. And so I will start just by talking about the street system. Like I say, all we have is a concept plan. But conceptually, they are proposing to give us the correct street frontages, the correct street widths, the correct lot widths. They do show frontage improvements everywhere, which would be with curb, gutter, and sidewalk, and that would be required everywhere where their property fronts. Where it's at concept level, a lot of times the details aren't hammered out yet. One of those is, like, they're not showing a complete sidewalk along Westfield Road on the concept plan. We would require sidewalk to be built along all their frontages. Do you have a pointer? It's hard to see. This orange line is actually existing sidewalk, and it goes up through about the middle of this lot. The only sidewalk that's not existing would be from there to the end of their project up here.
Asphalt sidewalk?
No, it's concrete.
How much of the problem does that take care of? I know that's come up before with citizens. The extension of the sidewalk.
So the problem that you're thinking of is further down the
further
road.
Further down.
Yeah.
It's a Highland, isn't it?
This is right on the Highland-Alpine border.
Okay.
So.
While we're up talking about this area right here, you can see this red line. This red line is the existing Westfield ditch. And as you can see, it goes right through the middle of this proposed lot. As we move forward, part of our development code actually requires any time we develop property with a ditch in it, that ditch be piped. In so doing, piping the ditch would actually help them be able to build the sidewalk up here. And it would also reroute the pipe through this area out of their future potential building pads. Also, while we're right here, there's this one little weird piece of lot line that probably needs straightened out. Not a big deal, just something to look at or think about as we move forward.
Is there a reason for it to be?
Is there a reason for it, Dana?
Right. Dana, why don't you come up? Dana, come up to the microphone. Might as well sit at the table. We might have some questions for you. Unless you'd like to stand.
Dana Beck. That 621 lot is an existing lot of record, and that just happens to be where the existing lot line is. But we're going to just run it straight and connect it in so that we can bring the
ditch
line right along the back lot line there.
Yeah.
Was the sorry?
I think Ken just missed it when he was.
Yeah, it's really not a big deal. It's just.
As long as we're talking about rerouting, did the natural gas line? Is it?
Yeah.
Is it going around all the lots?
What I ended up doing was I came across.
Jason, can you go to that next one?
I came across right. Where are we?
Okay, you're down here now.
Came across right along this back lot line, right down here to this corner.
And
right
out. That line. Okay. So that worked out nicely then, huh?
Yeah. We gave it our best guess and got lucky. So the gas is out of all of the lines, and there's already a prescribed easement on those. So,
okay. Are you going to phase this in out of curiosity?
Nope.
Just all at the same time?
Can you go back to that next one now?
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jeff.
So, moving along. So, that's the street system.
On the street system at the bottom there, is it a full length street all the way down through, or is it partial
width?
It's partial width in front of this property. The school developed a partial width street, which that meets code. We actually just received a
concept plan for this property today.
So that'll be on the next meeting.
Chances are both these would be going in at the same time.
That next one, how far down does it go?
To Westfield Elementary, which is...
That's Griff Johnson's?
Yeah.
He talked about two access roads through the property to...
I think there's only one from Long Drive to Westfield, I think.
Where has that happened, you know? Or is that on that concept?
It's going to be about right here.
Okay. So nothing from there just hooks into the property as it comes down?
Yep.
All right.
Everything on the Beck Pines, that's all full road all the way up?
Yes.
Don't have to take anything from the school, that's all on side?
Correct, yep.
Is there going to be any sidewalk plans on the other side at all, do you know what the plan is there at all?
Yes, there will be sidewalk on this side.
All of it.
Curb gutter sidewalk on everywhere there's frontage.
Yep. Since we're at concept level, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on utilities. I will suffice it to say we've got water lines and secondary water lines and sewer all right here, which the development will hook to. This green line is existing sewer, which they would hook to. Would probably need to do a little modifications right here at the end, probably move that manhole back into the road and then stub it for future development. There's water lines and secondary water lines in Westfield Road, and we would connect to both those, so it would be a looped water system.
Remind us who owns the property to the, are we oriented there? To the east? To the southeast?
Sorry, say that again.
I'm turning around.
South is down.
I was thinking that was west. South is down. You're actually oriented correctly.
Yep, this is Dry Creek, Burgess Park, Timberline. The elementary school would be down below the logo.
I'm getting a good pin extension here, but no. Oh,
here.
That's the other way.
The other way. There you go.
Yep.
Can't write and point.
Don't do that too often. Get it in the eye.
On the storm drain system, we would prefer that that was able to discharge to Fort Creek. There's an existing storm drain system right here. The developer would be responsible to get it from his development to there. Having said that, with these guys developing at the same time, we may only be responsible just for that one little section. Because they'll be sewering or storm draining out to about there and then south. So, small section. So, general comments. The property's not located with any of our sensitive areas as outlined in our city planning maps. So, the geotech report would be fairly simple, just addressing public roads, infrastructure, and residential foundation design. Obviously, we got two big buildings on there that would need to be removed, and I believe Dana's got plans to do so. Talked about Westfield Ditch and the double frontage.
Jed, talk to us about Long Drive. That's what I was trying to say. Who owns property and eventually get out to 200 North?
Okay, so Alan Gilman owns this little piece. The Healy's and
Vance's,
yes, thank you.
So it's going to be a while before Long Drive connects.
Correct. And actually, thank you for mentioning that. Part of the requirements, this would be a stub street, and they would be required to have a temporary turnaround at the end of that section.
Which so probably, how will that work? Off on someone else's property?
That's typically how they do.
That's typically they stub it. So you'd need to probably put that in here as well, just as guidance, wouldn't you?
Want the other end? Well,
I think that is in here somewhere, maybe.
The other end won't need it.
That is in here. It's just not in the recommendations. Mm-hmm.
Should that be just, well, we're just giving them guidance tonight.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
That's all these are anyway, the SAC recommendations and guidance principles.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, that's good information. Anybody
public
know
hearing?
Where Steve is?
You want to do public hearing?
We are going to have a public hearing, but we won't be able to vote on this until Steve gets here.
Have the public hearing. Let's do that. And I would recommend we just keep moving through the agenda, get the public hearings taken care of, and then
when Steve comes,
if Steve shows up, then we'll backtrack and get the votes.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
I don't know what else to do. I've tried to reach...
Text him.
Yeah, I've reached out to him, and he hasn't responded, so...
All right, we'll open for a public hearing at this point in time. You can come to the microphone. Wishes to say anything about this subdivision concept plan? We've got a lot of people from City Council. Roger Bennett's here. Thanks, Roger, for coming. Okay, with lack of any comment, we'll close the public hearing. As far as we can go right now, Dana, until we get an extra member.
Just one general question. And it probably doesn't relate really to the concept plan, but obviously this is going to change up quite a bit the traffic flow there, you know, because is there any concern about coming off there and having so many people go off a half-height road at a certain point? I mean, would it make sense almost to, I don't know.
Actually, we are very pleased to see this.
I know, it's great, but I'm just wondering if you have a lot of traffic going both ways when all of a sudden it hits a...
We expect it to help alleviate the school traffic. It'll give another option for people to leave. Won't be so much this subdivision, but the one that you'll be seeing next week, they're calling it Harvest Meadows. It's going to have it's going to have a road that comes out about right here. And that road will be 60-foot width, so...
Well, it'll be a 60-foot right-of-way.
It's a 60-foot right-of-way, so it'll be...
a little wider street.
A little wider street to help get people out.
Yeah, if that weren't going in, I'd be really concerned about that going past the seminary there, because that's already so weird.
Are you worried about Westfield Road or the congestion?
Everyone goes down to the previous one, but this makes more sense and is easier for people, so they're always going to stop using that one and go this one, which is great, but... Okay.
Does this affect the crosswalks? You know, right now, the way the school is and all the traffic and exits, there's only one place out.
You know, the schools are the ones that come up with those routes, okay. So they would have
Do we have to do anything as far as notification of them if it changes to traffic flow or anything?
I think they were on the notification list of this subdivision, so we should know about pending development.
Yeah, my only question was the turnaround for the fire engine, which you guys have already addressed, and for snow. But you're saying that goes off onto someone else's property?
No, typically, the road, it's a 54-foot width right-of-way, but the road is only 30 feet.
Uh-huh.
And so from that 30-foot line to the property line, you've got distance to typically build your temporary turnaround. And it may or may, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but it may or may not go on to either his or their property a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Either way, it's not a concern.
The only thing I think looks a little, but if you said matches the frontages, and that's lot 15, I guess that shape is to give it the square footage they both need.
Which one's lot 15?
It's that triangle one that goes around a corner a little teeny bit right there in the front.
This one?
Top, down, no. Oh, sorry, the other way. To the right. Right there.
Yeah, they got plenty of frontage on this road.
Well, this subdivision is going to be required to put in lighting, you know, street lights and whatnot. But...
We don't have a requirement for residential. Sometimes they'll request to have lighting in their neighborhood, and it's kind of a case-by-case situation.
I would love it if neighborhoods did do the lighting. I think it's nice.
Just depends on safety. What the neighborhood wants.
Yep.
We actually don't have a lot of residential neighborhood lighting.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like it.
Really? Yeah.
But some people like it's kind of an emerging thing, but they like the being able to see the stars and stuff like that.
True. I like to not trip.
Okay. Other discussion items?
Ready to make a motion.
But I can't.
Can't do it. You could bank it. We can't vote on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll table the vote on that. Hopefully we'll get it done tonight. And we'll go to item B, open space ordinance and map amendments. No public hearing on that, right?
Yes, there is a public hearing on it.
because it wasn't on, I've got the agenda from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's on the agenda you just sent out, though.
I'm going to grab you a agenda, Steve.
Oh, that's okay. You can guide me through it.
I think we thought we've done it before, but sometimes it's better to be more, you know, transparent about things that are happening. So we thought we're setting a public hearing for the other things. We may as well do it for this as well. So the open space ordinance amendment, we've been working on this for a while. The city council looked at things, and they made a motion to reject the ordinance number, which is what was proposed, and they wanted to look toward option two, which is what the planning commission liked. So, and that was unanimous. So I guess first the ordinance language, the changes that you'll see, there was a word taken out of here that David Church didn't like. It was basically commercial, municipal, or residential building. Took that word out, and then basically what we've done is we've made definitions for each of those new designations on that map. If you remember, we had private open space. I'll go there right now. On the map, we have public open space, and there's two types. The green is developed open space, and the blue is natural open space. And then we have the red is private open space. And then we have, there's a few areas where there's conservation easement. There's a conservation easement over there. There's the Oberry that's newly annexed. And this map reflects the recent annexation. So you'll see that our boundaries are a little bit different with all this land that's been annexed now. But before, the public open space was just one solid color. But this option shows public open space in two different colors. Developed and natural. So that's the map. Back to the language. So it's consistent. We worked on definitions for what natural open space and developed open space are. I pretty much kind of worked off of the language that was originally there for the two different designations. The main difference was number three. It kind of went into details about what that involves. Same with number three on developed open space. And I think we left it more just vague. For natural, it's recreational improvements which are incidental to the natural area. And then for developed, it's just recreational areas with sufficient parking. And then four and five. Four was the way it was in the original ordinance before we started working on this, that construction and maintenance of city utilities shall be permitted. But then we added in there, structures for the maintenance and operation of city business shall be conditionally approved. And that's consistent with where we put language in the conditional use section, that buildings such as restrooms or, you know, in the case of the 300 North site that people have been concerned about, a maintenance, park maintenance building for city purposes, that'll be conditionally approved. That'll go through a process. So these are the two definitions that we have. And that's pretty much it in terms of the language in the ordinance. All this language that had the other designations and stuff is now gone, and everything's just kind of more simple and a little bit more generic.
Hey, Jason, I noticed you don't have all the. I get a little confused by this as far as not having all the land that would be.
Right. So that.
Like the 300 North, you don't have on the map. You don't.
Right.
Have
yep.
Is that on purpose?
Yes. I think we wanted to put the focus on this is Alpine City open space. There are little pieces of land where the city owns, but it wasn't necessarily brought in as open space or acquired as open space, or it's not used as open space. I think in the case of what you see right there, it's basically that one site, and then there's a handful of sites where there was like a well house or something that was not included in some sort of open space for a development. So the map is going to be pretty close except for that 300 North well site and I guess the neighboring land that was given to
that
the city.
That were to have the maintenance shop, would you then designate it as?
Yes. Or no. It's like the public works building. And if you see,
as shown. Okay.
Right. We.
But I don't understand why you just don't have it as open space right now, because it doesn't stop you from doing the.
I'm not sure either. Why don't we go ahead and so that all the citizens know what those are? Not sure what the reason is for...
It's not open space. It's not going to be used as open space.
Because it wasn't designated as open space?
No, it never has been.
It's just city-owned property.
Right. As you see, City Hall's not listed as open space. I guess the east part that kind of has that grass area and park area, the Public Works Building's not listed on here. Those are just city-owned pieces of property. They're not open space.
I love this. I think this is exactly what I wanted to see, because that way public-owned, city-owned property is not mistaken for open space.
Right.
And then open space is not mistaken for open space that will never be touched. And so I love how it is, and I love the way you've changed the wording. And for me, that clarifies it a lot.
You can't get better than that.
How did that
you made me happy, huh?
Obviously for Steve, but how did that 300 North property come about to be city-owned property?
It was.
I think we got to a point where we thought, you know, we're getting to a point where we need to expand.
No, he's talking about how to become city property.
How to become city property.
Steve did over
their
from.
Possessions.
Well, that's the interesting thing is it never was open space. It was listed on a map as future open space, but
someone give it to
it
the
was
city.
Owned by.
Before the subdivision went in, someone just gave it to the city?
I think it was some extra land that somebody deeded over to the city. There was actually a time where they were talking about
building
like a Maori cultural center
Mayor?
In there.
I'm interested in
it. Depends on how long it is. Just kidding.
You're not in charge.
I know, I'm just the smart mouth next to you.
That land originally... Bill Jones was involved with it, and the Polynesian community in Alpine wanted to have a Polynesian center. And so they got this piece of ground. Trying to remember, there was one other person that was in.
Did they buy it from a citizen? Or?
Yeah, it was owned by, I'm trying to remember exactly, but he lived here in town and set it all up. They had a great big dedication. They danced the hukka. Everybody was happy except the mayor.
Oh, was this before the subdivision to the east of them went in, or was it
1998, I believe.
So a lot of the homes were in.
Already built.
So they were already...
Someone just owned that piece of property, but it wasn't part of a PBR.
No, it was not. The Bristol Court homes on the other side had no association with it. Will Jones dedicated or used it as a tax deduction to the city. That's how we ended up with
so
that.
Will Jones owned it, and he gave it to a Polynesian group, and then they just didn't...
It came from Will directly to the city. Polynesian group was going to build this Polynesian center, but that failed. Will still owned the property.
Okay.
By another individual before that, I can't remember who.
Lon Neal,
was it? Yeah, so anyway, that's how it ended up in our ownership. So it never really was attached to any subdivision or any other reason.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mayor. Okay, do you have anything else to say?
Public hearing.
Hey. Let's open up this discussion for our open public hearing. Sorry. Public hearing on the open space ordinance and map amendments, Article 3.16. Free to come up to the microphone. This is what we call the pause. Make sure everybody gets a chance. Okay. Okay. Lacking any comment, we will close the public hearing. Discussion? No vote yet, but...
Is there any confusion? I mean, I don't know why you have it in there on the 316.6, number 2, with you have natural and developed open space, and number 3, where you say recreational areas with sufficient parking. I'm just kind of curious why we even put the parking in there. I mean, I know that in natural open space, we have parking attached to it as well, but we don't have that in there.
Yeah. And like I said, that was kind of language that was there originally. It said recreational areas, and then it went into, like, you know, pavilions and playground equipment and stuff like that. I left the sufficient parking there because I felt like if it's more developed, it's a developed park that is almost expecting to have people, you know, like Creekside Park or Burgess Park. We have parking. Now, do we need parking for natural areas? Yes, but not in every case. We have lots of natural areas where there's not parking lot for it. I know we've been talking about and you know, we need to look into maybe a parking area for Lambert Park because it's used a lot, but there's lots of natural areas, natural open spaces in town where we don't have like a designated parking for it. I don't think we necessarily need or want that. So I think with the developed park, it's expected that there will be people that are going there, and I think it's important to have sufficient parking because it's just of the nature of the...
Even though, like, Lambert has parking, you know, those four spots here, six spots there, whatever, that's not important to put that on there. It doesn't provide any values, is what you're saying to the...
I mean, we can do with Lambert Park what we want. This isn't saying that we can't have parking for Lambert Park. I think it's just, that definition just makes sure that it's incidental to the natural area. Now, parking sometimes is needed, but I think it's, you know, we're not going to turn all of Lambert Park into a big parking lot for the rodeo. It's, you know, we're going to do sufficient parking for the rodeo. The rodeo's grounds are actually, as shown on the map, they're listed as developed open space. So, does that answer your question, Jason?
It does, I guess.
I like what we've done here. I like how it's streamlined now. It just feels a lot better, and I like the map.
Okay.
Is
that it?
Yes. Okay. I'm ready with the motion.
Jason's got to leave at 9. I think you're going to make it.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, next item on the agenda, public hearing, flood damage prevention overlay ordinance amendment, section 3.12.8.
So let me explain where this is coming from. For the longest time, FEMA has had a very generic swath of land kind of as a buffer along our creeks, Dry Creek and Fort Creek. That generic swath is what FEMA has gone off of for requiring people to have flood insurance. Well, just recently FEMA did a hydraulic study along those creeks, and now they've narrowed up that swath of land. It's done using engineering calculations and whatever. It's very specific. Anyways, they want to update the map for Alpine City. In order for them to update and adopt that map, they have to make sure that the cities in which they do that has an ordinance that is also up to date with their current laws and regulations. And so they updated the map and they came to us and they said, here's the updated map, but they also came to us and said, here's the updated ordinance that you need to adopt. And so we took that ordinance, which is what is being proposed, and I actually went through the ordinance line by line and compared it with our current ordinance. Our current ordinance appears to have come from what they've given us.
I assume that was the way it was, yeah.
The only additions in there are things that honestly don't even pertain to Alpine City. Like, they mentioned mobile home parks and stuff, and we're never going to have mobile home parks. And I actually crossed out all those things and I sent it back to them, and they said, no, you have to have every line and every word that we gave you. So we said, okay. So I hate to say that they just want you to rubber stamp it, but they just want you to rubber stamp it.
I don't think this is one where we really have a lot of input for the FEMA people. So, okay.
Yeah.
So let's open up to public hearing.
I think a key that me and Jed have joked about is that second to last sentence. This will allow Alpine residents to continue to obtain flood insurance. I think that's the key to this whole ordinance change, is it was without it, their flood insurance is not going to be able to be provided. So
right. That's
what's important about this ordinance change.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
We really haven't had we've had the floods from the mountains, but one down the city, remember Alpine yesterday shows 100 south at 200 right. North.
54 or something, I can't remember.
Yeah, it's quite a flood.
Yeah,
so. Okay, we'll open the public hearing. Flood damage prevention overlay ordinance amendment. Lauren, do you have something to say? Awesome.
Lorraine. I live in Alpine.
Lorraine Lott.
I'll say my last name. I just want to tell you that you guys do a fabulous job and that you're knowledgeable and you really work hard. So thanks for doing that.
Thanks for coming to all the meetings, Lorraine.
Well, you're welcome. It's entertainment.
I wish all the public comment were like that.
I was nervous there for a minute.
Okay, lacking comment, we will close the public hearing on flood damage prevention. I wish we were taking votes. We'd be knocking them down right and left. And do we have any discussion on that? I think that's pretty much a rubber stamp. Okay. Starting the agenda is general plan update, particularly as it pertains to the transportation circulation element.
Sorry, I'm just trying to check the status of our other...
Everybody's read through the 137 pages of the transportation study?
Word for word. Word for word.
Okay, so for the general plan discussion tonight, I wanted to have kind of a generic discussion about this. There's not any, I started to kind of amend some of the language and play around with it and stuff like that. As you remember, we were going to have a transportation or a traffic study done on this. We actually met with four different engineering firms, and we got to the very end. And in talking with Chairman Cosper and the mayor, I think we felt like for the amount of money that would have taken to do a study, I wondered how much more we would have learned from a document that we already had. We have a transportation master plan, which I sent on Friday to the Planning Commission. And if you guys want a copy of that, let me know and I can print that out for you. It's a, as Steve said, it's a really big document, but it's got information in there that I think is still very relevant. The study was done back in 2005. But with Alpine and kind of its unique nature and being kind of the end of the road, we don't have other cities that are commuting through our community to get places. We felt like that study probably is still fairly relevant. There's a lot of things in it that could be updated and will be updated at some point. But for now, I think we thought there's information in there that will be useful to us now, but we don't necessarily need to jump into a transportation study. I know Steve's got some questions about it, and that's what the extra handouts are on your desk. We'll talk about that in a bit. But what I wanted to kind of talk about for just a second was, as I was looking at the language and trying to kind of come up with a draft of how it could be updated or amended, I got thinking, and I felt like we've had a lot of people, concerned residents, that have come in and have made comments about traffic. With extra growth, with extra development, there's going to be more traffic, and there's been a lot of concern there. It felt like we wanted to do some sort of a traffic study to help appease some of those concerns. And quite frankly, I don't know as if a traffic study is going to do that. Quite frankly, I don't know as if there's much that we can do about some of those traffic concerns. And this is why. The growth that's going to happen in our community, and there's a handful of areas where there's going to be some growth, but there is not a lot that we can do about that. It's been zoned. It's, you know, there's a few areas that could be annexed, but not huge areas that are going to add sufficient traffic. But so there's growth that's inevitable, and I don't know what we can do to stop that. There's development rights that I think that we as a city respect.
That's what we want to.
I mean, we could always rezone it. We could do different things like that, but I don't know as if I see us going in that direction. The second thing that I thought of is, you know, like I said earlier, we're at the end of the road. We don't have other cities commuting through our town. And I don't see Alpine City taking the steps to widen any of our roads. I think of like Main Street, our main arterial, some of the buildings that are up close. I don't think the city would ever want to go through a process for widening that road. I don't think we would even have the money to make that happen. That would be quite the undertaking to try and acquire the land to have the right of way to widen that road. So with those few things, I thought, I'm trying to think of what exactly we could do to help address some of these transportation concerns. Quite frankly, in my opinion, I feel like maybe the best way to address some of those traffic concerns is in our land use. And what I mean by that is kind of our decisions of how we develop in town. Now, there's not a whole bunch of extra land left, but I feel like the only way you really have to get around in Alpine, within Alpine, or commuting in and out of Alpine is via your car. We don't have any transit here. We don't have, I think we have a bus stop that, but it's kind of, you know, I don't think anybody even really uses it. We do have some, you know, walking paths and stuff like that, but it doesn't serve a purpose to take you anywhere except for recreational purposes. It's not like we have restaurants or those different type of land uses that are transport, that would make those paths transportation affiliated. It's, you wouldn't commute necessarily to the gym or to a restaurant or things like that. So I feel like those are maybe more recreational, and that's great. And depending on the land uses that we incorporate moving forward, those could become more of a transportation option. If you lived, for instance, in the Twin River Loops area, and you wanted to use that trail that borders there, you could use that trail, and you could get to the you know, potential land uses that are in the downtown area, whether they be a gym or the offices that are there, or, you know, retail or dining. But other than that, I'm trying to think exactly what we can do and what options we have to really address, one, the transportation, the traffic concerns, but two, what we want to do moving forward. So I think what I wanted to do is have a discussion and maybe get some direction from the Planning Commission of how you feel about that and what you want to do to the transportation element moving forward. Now, Steve, I don't know if you wanted to address the question you had for me. Jed was able to look at it and in your handout, so I can pull it up here too, so folks in attendance can...
Just to augment what Jason's been saying, this study had done completed 2005 actually projects out to 2030 with... You know, fully anticipating that Alpine will reach 14,000, was it 14,000, 14,500?
14, 15, somewhere in that ballpark.
In that range as far as being completely developed. So with that being said, one of the things in the transportation study is this chart that Jason printed, and I think Jed updated. My question for Jason was, these were projects that were planned in 2005, so we don't need to start from scratch on the traffic study, I don't believe, because since it does project out, but maybe tweak to so that we know exactly what's been done in the last 11 years. And that's what Jed did here. Jed, do you want to address that?
No? Sure. So on this list that in the table that Jason showed up there, there's 15 street improvements that were in the table. So all I did is go through that list and check off the ones that were done, and maybe if we put the map up there, I think you all have the list in front of you.
So the check is it's completed. There's nothing.
Yeah, so the check is it's completed. So the first one was Westfield Road, and that was a widening project. That one's been done. The second one was the same kind of deal, the High Bench Road. That was also a widening slash storm drain project. That one's done. Do you want me to just tell you where each one of these projects are?
I would like that. In fact, I think, and I don't know how to do this, but I think this should be tweaked, the traffic study. And I'm thinking we can do a lot of that, can't we, Jen? I mean,
yeah.
we could insert something actually into this study, couldn't we, to say...
Yeah, we
table will be updated without going back to the author. Do we have that?
Right? We could give this to who's ever working on that and have them look at it and take the information.
It would be worthwhile just to do surgical updates in the plan. Okay, go ahead.
So number three is Canyon Crest Road West. This is actually the section of ground that we just got the concept plan for today. So it's part of the master plan to have and Collector Road going through that property. So that obviously hasn't been done yet. Number four.
Which, could I ask something on that
yes.
one? So are you saying that the road through the Beck development is that dashed line?
Next to the Beck development. It will be the Harvest Meadows, the one that's coming up
next. So the
next.
One that's wider?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And don't take the dashed line as...
I know, the exact location.
You have a survey that.
I understand. Just that general area.
Yep. So number four is over on the west side of the city. It is an extension of Blue Spruce Road from Blue Spruce up to Lupine Drive. So yeah, that's this one right here. That obviously not in yet.
A lot of these will be taken care of with subdivisions, is that?
Yeah. Yep.
It's not city money then?
Correct.
Westfield Road was city.
Westfield Road was city money.
Why is there money allocated for it? Oh, that's not the city's cost.
No, it's a cost estimate.
Okay.
Yep. Number five, we have talked about the bridge crossing and the Beck properties right here on the south end of town.
Bangor property.
Bangor, sorry. So yeah, that is the transportation improvement there. Number five is that section. Number six is Country Manor Lane. Let's see, the best, it's off of Watkins Lane on the southeast side of the city.
Got those two stubbed, you can see.
Yep. And you remember with the Bridle Up Hope, that we talked about that and that we didn't.
That'll probably be taken care of with the subdivision, though. Isn't that Patterson land?
I don't think so. I think
Bridle Up Hope stop. That was the Pierce's property.
They got approved, and they just never. We haven't seen a building permit, or they haven't really come through or moved any.
I ran into one of the owners like a week or two ago.
Right.
They said they just haven't got their investors to step up to the plate quite yet to make all that happen.
So if you remember, we talked about this, and I think we'd have the connection down to Watkins Lane, but the connection, I said that wrong. We have access to the property, and there'll be some improvement, but it won't connect quite yet until we get this area right here developed. They wanted to not have that road go through the property until it absolutely had to, and I think that's the way that was going to be worked out.
It'll take a while, isn't it? That whole
it'll take a while.
Vision.
So that connection won't be there with Bridle Up Hope. It'll probably be more in the future.
Straight north of that is number seven, and it's this section of Alpine Boulevard, which is done with some development up there from one of your lovely city councilmen. Alpine Boulevard number eight. It says Alpine Boulevard back then. We go over, it's actually this section here. Back then, they were still assuming that was going to be named Alpine Boulevard. They figured out there was going to be some addressing issues, so it actually got renamed to Heritage Hills Drive. Anyways, that one is in. Number nine, Westfield Road from 200 North to Pioneer Drive. This is this section right here going up through the Whitby Woodlands developments. So that's not in.
I believe that's an approved plat, too. It just hasn't, an approved preliminary plat. They just haven't brought in final and gotten it recorded and developed it yet.
Didn't they have, like, one lot that went ahead and
they did, they, and they were, yeah. Yeah, they right amended ahead. The plat to,
so that had one,
so they could develop one of them, but.
This fourth east section, it mentions number 10. That actually was developed when Creekside Park was, right over here. When Creekside Park was developed. So that little section is in. Long Drive from Ranch Circle to Westfield Road. This is this section right here that is not in. That's still horse property. Number 12, Country Manor Lane, Country Manor Circle to Alpine Boulevard. That section actually is in. Again, by one of your lovely city councilmen.
Gotta quit calling him lovely. He's gonna go to his head. You are lovely, Roger.
Number 13 is not in yet. This is on Fitzgerald and Patterson properties. It actually won't be developed quite like it's shown here. There's a stub street about right here or right here where that would go up and connect.
No, that might, if you heard any rumblings on one, that might happen.
Not heard any rumblings.
There is one. The biggest mess you can imagine with the property that's unincorporated. there's a lot of, I think it's gone to litigation. It's kind of an ugly mess. It's a little more complicated than I can even understand, but it's really a problem there with that.
Number 14 can be slightly controversial, as well as number 15, and they're not in yet.
We'll just, that's all we'll say about those ones.
I've received 10 calls this week. I'm like, I don't even know anything about that. That's all I see.
The dirt road that's supposed to stay dirt, right?
Yep.
Or it's some...
At one point, I don't know how it got green on this map. I don't know.
So move on.
Master plan. Though.
Yeah.
This is the master plan that he's...
I didn't tweak it.
I don't know if I'm curious. It says 2008 adopted. Is that on there in 2008?
Mm-hmm. It was adopted.
It's back when that Dutch plan was...
2008 is the last time we've touched the street master plan. So this is the current street master plan that you have before you.
So are you suggesting that we remove the things that have been completed on this and have a new list?
I think we can take them off if they're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure can. And I think we have to designate... it's got here potential funding source, so those... Clearly delineated as, it just says other, probably should be private, huh? Private subdivision. Why do they have C on all these? Because it's really, if they're private subdivision, why would the city? Is that just a potential?
It's a potential, yeah.
I don't think the city would ever do that, would they?
Well, there's some like Westfield Road that they've done and High Bench Road that they've done.
Right, but not these that we're talking about.
Some of the dashed ones that should come in with a development typically are waited for until development occurs.
I think the reason this is important because as we talk about what can we do, not really a lot, but as this develops out all the streets, then you've got a fully functional transportation that fits the model.
What about
the best you're going to do as far as getting cars to move?
And in my mind, just kind of thinking off the top of my head, I think two of the biggest ones that will help with the circulation, one of them is not actually in this plan, but number 5 I think will really help with circulation because anybody who lives over here hits Westfield Road and leaves, but this gives kind of that different option of circulating around. But the other one that is not in the plan that Jed just read off of, but is this one right here. If we have a fourth way in and out of the city, even though it's on a neighborhood street, that's going to, you know, it won't be that funneling effect. When we had the high-pressure gas line going on Canyon Crest Road, there's only a handful of options to get in and out of the city, but and one of them happened to be under heavy construction, which delayed a lot of people. But if that was there, it would help out a lot. Now, I know the people that are just in Highland there are not wanting to see that happen, but that road being punched through is kind of contingent on Patterson's, who's
so does the road, is this where Highland is, and does the road go right to that edge right there?
Yep.
So this is an Alpine, though?
Oh, yeah.
So this is Alpine. Here, I'll show you on the aerial.
Yeah, the smooth, right by the Smooth Creek, right?
Up where those base
Smooth Canyon.
Yeah.
Patterson, is he on those? Is that
he does.
Patterson, yeah.
You heard anything on when they're thinking of
Nope. Canyon? There, it's been brought up a handful of times, but it's nothing serious.
Nice to have an extra one, but these people here would hate it.
Yeah. So
they're an island.
It's expected to have that connection right there. And like I say, it's not going to be a way I think that people are going to use to commute. But in the circumstance where other roads are experiencing some sort of congestion, it's an option. And you know these people. People aren't going to like it, but it's been planned that way for a long time, and anybody who lives in the southeast corner, you never know. You know, for instance, you know, Troy Stout on the council, I wouldn't be surprised if he uses that road to get down to SR92.
Well,
it's a long way around.
Those are two ones that I really think will help with the transportation circulation and alleviating some congestion from some of the other arterial roads, but...
This one right here, this one's not, I noticed, not on it. Should it be on it?
So, I mean, the road's there. It's just not a...
Half-width road. And
it's just not up to standard. It's just kind of contingent on when this property develops. This property did come to you. It's kind of been stopped in its tracks, and I can't tell you why, but it's not proceeding forward at this time. So it's kind of contingent on development happening to get the right of way to be able to widen that road to the, to our standards.
Shouldn't that be listed?
No, it's already there. It just needs to be improved. Mayor, did you have anything to say on that?
No. 300 North.
Sorry to. You don't have to. I just wondered.
I do have something to
say. All right.
I guess when they finish with the Ivory proposal, part of that road will be completed.
Did Ivory buy that land?
That's what I understood.
Okay.
They're in the process working with...
All of it, or just this piece?
No,
there?
Just the...
No, not the piece to the... Just, yeah, just there you go. That's Jewel and...
Clive
Walters owns. But on the other side, when the owner of that property is excited about finishing that road out there, I guess we'll get it finished out there.
Do you don't think that's going to happen until that development happens, Mayor, you think? Or?
Well,
just curious.
I think that there's an opportunity that we're in negotiations talking with them about extending the road over to a curb and gutter situation.
Mm-hmm.
But until it gets completed with sidewalk and everything.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that that's going to take place until.
Okay.
It would be wonderful. It's been that way since I was in city council in 1980. So it's. You know, long haul on that piece of road. I think it's a safety issue for the public, and anybody that lives on it knows how.
I understand historically, I mean, that kind of got locked in with, Bill Debbie own all that?
On the subdivision on the south, when they put it in, and the Van Burgess, who owned it on the north at the time, came to the city and... The
city really didn't push that through at the time.
I have a question. So as far as the master plan goes for the roads, Jason, so where does it fit in as far as like flow? To me, it seems like that the improvement of that 300 North would improve the flow of traffic because it would make a partially functional road more fully functional, which would improve traffic flow.
I was going to say that is a good example of one where the C is definitely... The city would consider that. Mm-hmm. We actually have been considering that and even have a preliminary design that we've done for it.
When was that done, Jed?
About a month ago by me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good job.
So shouldn't we list that is what I'm saying?
Something to keep in mind is this was done in 05 and our master plan was updated in 08.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like they don't coincide with each
okay.
other.
So Jane, you're saying we ought to put 300 North in front
of
that?
Yeah, I think we should.
On the list.
And if there are other roads like that, like maybe Pioneer Road or...
300 North and that one going to Highland too, I think would be
right.
good ones.
Yeah, I think those would be good to list just because they would indeed improve flow.
Yep.
And they are part of what we expect. The other question I had was, you know, even though this is all here, one of the things that seems like it could improve flow is the way the intersections are. Like, for example, you know, adding the roundabout downtown, we could say change the traffic flow or helped the traffic flow. And I was just wondering if we should be looking at certain intersections or areas that we feel like may need help to improve the traffic flow. I'm concerned about Main Street to Fort Canyon. And we've talked about the curve there by Heritage Hills and the church and that. Like, I would consider that a traffic flow problem coming as Three Falls goes in. And I don't know, you know, if that fits in here, you know, Jason, and where in the master plan those things fit. But I'm just wondering if, you know, certain intersections or things like that are part of this.
I mean, I know that the engineers have kind of a formula. We get people that come in and want a stop sign all the time, and we go and look at it, and there's kind of a formula that they use to determine whether an intersection should be changed or modified. With a roundabout like that, I don't know as if for now that there's any sort of a justification for doing that. I think the other thing too is roundabout is not a cheap thing.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's like, do we have the money and resources to put in to something that maybe isn't needed at this point?
I didn't mean a roundabout there. I was saying like how the roundabout in downtown changed
uh-huh.
the traffic flow. I'm not talking about a roundabout there, but I am saying that we have approved X number of homes in that area,
mm-hmm.
and we already know that you know, is a problem area.
Is it? I mean, you bring up a point that maybe there's some intersections that can be addressed, but I think, you know, kind of to the point I was in kind of my generic discussion, in a lot of ways, I feel like some of the things that will need to happen is kind of almost nothing that the city can do, but almost internal for the residents of Alpine. A good example is I-15. We're just wrapping up widening I-15, but we understand that from today, we're supposed to be, the Wasatch Front will double in population by 2040. Does that mean we're going to double the width of I-15? No, I think it just is going to turn into a thing where people are going to adjust to the fact that I-15 is not going to keep growing wider and wider. It's going to come down to people making individual choices of, oh, I'm going to start carpooling now, or I'm going to take the train, or I'm going to live closer to where I work, or things like that. So I think there's definitely some things that the city, you know, we've talked about a lot of important connections and things like that, but I don't know as if there's really much of a traffic problem at all. I think, you know, there's spots of congestion and there's times of day where there's a little bit, but that's a temporary thing. That doesn't cost.
Critical nature, though. If you read the transportation, they're all underneath the critical.
But even like, I know Roger has brought up the intersection of Grove and Alpine Boulevard and the way those come together. I'm just saying, if there are areas that people in the City Council or the Planning Commission or that we've heard about from the public coming in, I'm just asking, while we're updating this, should any of those be, are any of those considered something that ought to be added?
And I think at this point, I don't know as if you're going to get a recommendation from staff to do some of those things, but the Planning Commission and City Council want to move forward and want to set aside the funds to address those types of things. We work for you.
Jed, there's the Grove Drive, and of course that's being considered with the
Oberee,
yeah, property. I suppose that will get taken care of probably before it even becomes part of this type of
potentially
stuff.
I don't know how quick though.
You want to blow up the map a little bit or down? Don't have a What am I looking at there?
That is a street widening project.
Is that a street widening right
there? Yep, and it actually is designed, and honestly, the only reason it's not out to bid is because we've been too busy to put it out to bid.
Oh, is that right? Okay. It's not on the designation, though, right?
No, it's not on that paper, no.
It doesn't need to be because
it should be
taken care of.
I wouldn't put it on there.
100 South?
Yeah, 100 South is going to be done before we get this.
Before you get it, okay.
Updated.
So what about areas that have been annexed in that weren't in the city when this was done?
That'd be something to look at.
Yep. So really, right, I think from this map that you see, the Oberee, and I guess it shows that Heritage Hills isn't affected. Really, it's, you know, potential extension of Elk Ridge and Grove Drive. I guess there's some things. I know in the agreement for annexation, there was a big, just talking point was Grove Drive and how that would be improved.
And exit through Elk Ridge. Mm-hmm.
So those things have kind of been addressed with the annexation discussion of the Oberee property. So I don't know as if that needs to be further addressed.
Adam, though.
You know, Jed, probably it'd be well between you and Jason that you come up with these recommendations.
I was just going to say, like, probably where we ought to go from here is like have staff look at this and
why don't we do that and then come back. But I think with suggestions, and I appreciate you updating all these.
That's very. So
I think as far as the plan, I went through it twice now, not every word, but it's pretty close.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty close. Together. Just a few tweaks, I think, and it'll be okay. Yeah. Jed, do you agree with that?
Sorry.
I think we're pretty close on the transportation plan, except for a little tweaking on this type of thing. I think it's pretty well where it is.
I was just telling him that the transportation master plan, there's a lot of things that are still relevant, but that document may need to be updated just in and of itself. But I like what you pointed out with this chart, and I think this could be a good kind of appendage to the street master plan, which is that map you have in front of you that I think definitely needs to be updated. So we can work to get this map more consistent with what we talked about tonight and what the current status is of these roads, and have this chart kind of as an appendix to that map.
So this will be an appendix to the master plan or a reference?
And we'll still keep that in the master plan, but that master plan, that might just be something we'll want to have somebody kind of do kind of an umbrella update.
This is one of the appendices as far as the master plan. It wouldn't be wouldn't be the module, right?
You talking about this?
I'm talking about the master plan.
The chart.
Yeah, the chart is what I'm talking about. The chart, I think we can update that.
Actually pretty good. Yeah, that would be a good.
But I like it as an idea of an appendage to the street master plan.
Needs to be done. Okay.
I have one question. So we haven't really addressed your mentioning the fact that you were hoping that doing maybe a traffic study would help alleviate some public concerns. So did you have ideas of what you thought was going to alleviate that? I understand the cost and everything. I understand that, but we didn't really.
We've already got one. I don't think we realized how thorough it was. And mm-hmm. it actually projects out to 2030. Mm-hmm. I think we have to be reminded of that.
Right. We can point people to the current master plan, the transportation master plan that we're becoming more familiar with.
Okay.
That master plan doesn't include, like you said, any rezoning down, any annexation,
mm-hmm. right?
Schools.
But I think Jed and Jason, between the two of them, and maybe Shane, they can update that. And
mm-hmm. He's just saying they'll rezoned on Westfield Road, so that traffic study wouldn't have had that zone in it. I don't know that it's.
I'm not sure it made a big difference, so I don't think it did.
I wouldn't know enough to make that judgment.
Maybe an extra, mm-hmm. How many households said additional?
Would have the Three Falls been?
The Three Falls would have been
a known entity during that time,
yep.
And the annexation, like Oberry, I think what Jason's saying, if I'm not wrong, is that how much has changed as far as the density that they were using when they did that traffic study.
And I think that's a great question.
But I agree with you. I mean, I don't think there's much we can do really still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
We can say. I mean, the only thing that could do maybe is take that into consideration if you decide to put more homes in than zone, down zone, so to say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Other than that,
well,
I can't.
The study, Jason, shows that there actually aren't any. They have an ABC, red being, or is it more than that? It's D.
Yeah.
They have an extreme red zone where it gets really congested. There is nothing in Alpine that ever reaches them.
But I wonder, and again, I don't know how the whole that survey or that process worked, but I do know when charter schools get out, for example,
mm-hmm.
they have horrible congestion.
Right.
Some people, unless you're in there trying to get out there, you could take 10 minutes to get, the kids have the right of way the whole time there.
Right.
So that wasn't in there before, so would that have changed things up, And
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying about it. Are there problem areas that
but
we should
But I don't know if it solves it. I don't know what we could do to fix it.
Yeah.
And
I don't know as if 20 minutes two times a day constitutes a traffic problem. It's just congestion.
Right.
It's just.
I mean, maybe it would have been, and then does it ever go, and maybe it wouldn't even be in this element, mm-hmm. but when the charter school, for example, went in, they had rules put in place to help the flow of traffic. They had to go this way. They couldn't, there's a lot of things to do, and I'm wondering if they're doing those anymore, or those type of things. I don't think they are anymore.
Mm-hmm. No. And I've got close contact with the people at Mountainville, and so, and I know we've brought it up a number of times with them, and we've talked with the principal, and I know that those concerns will always come up again.
Would that be part of this or not? Is that something different?
I think that's kind of a case-by-case situation. I don't know as if, in terms of our transportation infrastructure, there's necessarily things that we can plan for to help do that. I think it's just working with the charter school to figure out how to move parents better. I will say the last time I did talk to them about that, because I brought it up with them just in the spring, they are monitoring it, and they're trying to make progress. They've actually measured it and measured the time from when the parents pick up the kids and when they leave, and they keep track of all that, and they've made progress. So it's not like they're sitting on their hands saying deal with it. But it's the nature of a school. You're going to have a little extra traffic with school at those peak hours. It's just trying to work with the school to find ways to help
Do we work with the school, or, I mean, for example, the kids all go over to the city park, and the parents all pull up in the city park, and it makes it a little dangerous situation. Would the city ever, through this, try to alleviate a problem that the school does, or do we kind of say, that's your problem, school?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do that. I know the school, they can't control the parents and where they park and try and you know, they can't tell the parents you can't park at a public park to pick up your kids and meet your kids there, and I don't know is what we're going to do to stop people from doing that. Or I think it's just trying to continue to address the problems as we see them and make efforts to make it better.
Okay, very good. Well, any other further communication items? If not, we can't vote on your minute, so.
And can I just, as a last thing, if you, I included in the packet, there's the current transportation circulation element from our current general plan. Read through that and start to kind of redline it and tell me what you think, because I'm looking for a little bit of help there. I think there's parts in there that might be better in, like, the land use. I know in the land use we cover street tree guidelines, and I know there's a section there that talks about it. To me, it's obviously transportation related, or it feels transportation related because it's making your streets better, but to me, I think transportation is more focused on how we're moving people, not necessarily.
Would you mind putting that on the next agenda?
So maybe
how pretty the streets.
Hopefully we'll have
right,
more.
Maybe the pretty streets goes in the land use section. I don't know, but
hopefully we'll have more people and we can
look it over and give me some direction on what you want to see there.
Good. Well, thank you. Thanks for coming, everybody. Sorry we couldn't vote.
Gonna limp through the summer, apparently.
Guess we don't even need a motion to adjourn.
So strange.
I'm out of here.
We have nothing. I have.